How much of a liar is week one of the NFL season?
Yeah, you can't overreact. You know, a lot of people, I know we're all excited about our fantasy teams or being fans of, you know, the home team or whatever. And, you know, you might get too high or too low, but literally it's the first game of the year. You have to allow this stuff to play itself out because, you know, I've seen teams start out hot and end up fizzling out at the end of the year and then the other way around. So we'll see how this thing plays out pretty soon.
All right, Torrey, I need to get your take on this because I'm a really big fan of conspiracy theories. I think that they are great for providing entertainment. I think some are crazier than others. But one of the craziest ones that I've seen is that Aaron Rodgers is throwing games because he doesn't like the Green Bay Packers front office. You've been in Green Bay. You know Aaron Rodgers. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. And how about maybe we give some credit to a little bit of rust for Rodgers and how good the Saints defense played?
Yeah, that's silly there because, number one, what people fail to realize is in football, you know, there are 52 other guys in that locker room that depend on you. So just the integrity of being a professional athlete, being a quarterback, you know, if you see someone that does that, ultimately you're affecting other people and how they can provide for their family. So you're not going to see guys out there, you know, dogging it. Now, did he look rusty? Yes. Was he unprepared? Yes. Because he spent the entire offseason and, you know, he was complaining about, you know, having more say-so in front office or being able to scout and recruit guys. And really, he should have just been working on being a better football player. And it showed, no matter how great you are as an athlete, you know, we all get humbled. And that's something what the Saints did. The Saints went out there and had a great game plan. They executed at a high level. We all thought that since there was no Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, that the Packers could just roll out of bed and beat them. And were we wrong? You know, that's where Jameis Winston and Sean Payton and that New Orleans defense, they stepped up and punched the Packers in the mouth.
Well, Torrey, if you noticed that he was unprepared, I'm sure the guys on the team noticed he was unprepared. How does that play in the locker room when the guy who's supposed to be your leader isn't ready to play on a game day Sunday?
Yeah, it happens. You know, that's probably the first game we've all watched Aaron Rodgers, and he just looked horrible. He was not the best player on the field. And as you know, think about him being in the league 15 plus years, and maybe you know one or two times we've ever seen a performance like that. So, you know, I'd definitely give him a chance to bounce back. And you know, the guys in the locker room, I'm quite sure they're going to rally around him and let him know, like, hey, you know, let's let go of this foolishness and let's focus on the things that we can control, and that's going out here and putting themselves in position to win the division and make a run in the playoffs. And that start with the Detroit Lions on Monday night.
I do. Before I get to my next point, I do find it really funny that Aaron Rodgers demanded that they trade for Randall Cobb, and the only pass that he caught was from Jordan Love. The irony in that is next level. But I wanted to stay within the division in the AFC, the NFC North, and listen, we know what Andy Dalton is. He is an average NFL quarterback, maybe slightly above average, but not much more than that. And he clearly had his struggles against the Rams. So as far as I know, he's starting this week against Cincinnati, and maybe there's the nostalgia that is involved with that based on, you know, playing the majority of his career in Cincinnati. But is it Justin Fields' time after that week three against the Browns, or it has to feel like week four against the Lions is almost a guarantee at this point?
Yeah, I think they're going to insert Justin Fields in the offense pretty quickly. And when he comes in a game, he's a bolt of energy. You know, the team gravitates towards him. He makes plays. And he's just so dynamic, you know, being able to beat guys in the pocket as well as use his legs and make second reaction throws. I mean, it makes football exciting, and, you know, that's where, you know, Chicago can have the advantage. And what you don't want to do is wait too late, because maybe, you know, if Justin Fields goes in there and he does win a couple games, you know, that can put you in position to be a wild card team or maybe win a division. So I think they're going to pull the trigger on that sooner than later.
Torrey Gurley is a former NFL receiver. He's an analyst for FS1. Joining us here on Sportsnet today, George and Matt, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Who had the best? I've asked a couple of guests this question. Torrey, I want to get your opinion on it. Obviously, you always want to win in game one to get that first win out of the way. But who had the maybe the most encouraging loss this past week in week one? Was it the Dallas Cowboys because of the health of Dak Prescott?
I don't believe in encouraging losses. So, I would lean towards the Cleveland Browns. Okay. They were able to give the Kansas City Chiefs a run for their money, and that could give you confidence knowing that you can play with the team. But I felt like that was as great as Cleveland can play. And Kansas City played bad, and they still won. So, in football, that losses get you fired, especially the moral victory. So, it's all about wins and losses. And Dallas did put up a lot of points, but defensively, those guys still can't stop a nosebleed. When you need those stops, they just couldn't get them, especially when everybody in the stadium knew that Tom Brady had to drop the ball, 80 yards with one timeout. They still couldn't, get a sack when you needed them the most. So, like I said, I'm not big fans of moral victories. It's all about the wins, because at the end of the day, man, it's just so competitive. Like, You plan for a Super Bowl. That's what all those guys are out there for.
Okay, Torrey. I'm a bit of a nut when it comes to fantasy football and football. And so for my weekly article for sports, and I went to rewatch all of Mac Jones's passes to kind of get a grasp of exactly what we saw from that offense. And my goodness, it looked oddly familiar watching that offense. A lot of short passes, didn't take a ton of deep shots. I mean, if there was a quarterback that fit an offense to take over from whatever is left from Tom Brady's time in New England, Mac Jones certainly looked like he fit the part in week one.
Oh, absolutely. And it's all about systems. And Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, they have a ground control, and they try to, protect with short passes just to, control the clock and field position. So everything is calculated there. And Mac literally sounds like he's been in New England for years. I heard him in a press game interview, and he was mumbling like Bill Belichick. He was just kind of blah, blah. And I was like, wow, like this dude is really drinking in New England Kool-Aid up there. So I think he's going to be fine in that system, because they have a stable of running backs, and that's something they're going to do is run the football. They're going to play defense, and something else that people are never going to talk about when it comes to fantasy sports is they're going to play special teams. I mean, they're really big into that, where they have punters that can pin you back, or they just try to win with field position on kickoffs and kickoff returns and different things like that. So that's why New England has been extremely successful for 20 plus years, even though they've had Tom Brady, arguably the best guy to ever play football, but it was all in a system, and he was a guy that mastered it, and they're just hoping that they can replicate just a half of what Tom Brady could do to continue to keep that program running.
Torrey, I'm sure being a former wide receiver, you have your eyes on all those rookies in week one. Which rookie wide receiver impressed you the most?
I really love Devontae Smith. I think, him being down there, playing in Philadelphia with his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, he ended up catching a touchdown in the same spot where he won a national championship at. So I think that guy's going to be extremely special. And the connection they have, the Alabama connection, I think is going to go a long way in the NFL.
Okay, Torrey, the New York Jets moved on from Sam Darnold, and he goes to Carolina, where I don't know how high expectations were for him, but this guy was a very high draft pick and goes to a system in New York where Adam Gase is the coach, and we know that Adam Gase is kryptonite for any sort of success that any team can have, it seems. But he looked really good in that first half, and I know it was the Jets, but is this the fresh start that he needed with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, just to let him kind of be the quarterback that he can be? And it certainly doesn't help with having Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall Jr. on that team as well. Can Sam Darnold actually live up to the billing of being a top three NFL draft pick?
Of course. You know, you don't get drafted that high for no reason. You know, the guy was extremely talented, big quarterback, big arm, and being in the right system matters. And anyone that's played with the Jets over the past few years, that team has been bad. You know, the ownership is horrible. You know, they shipped off Jamal Adams, sent him to Seattle for nothing, and just all their best players they get rid of. So it's hard to be successful when, you know, the guys in the front office are not putting the right pieces around you. And with him being with Sam being down in Carolina, it's just a great opportunity for him to really display his skills, with him being able to push the ball vertically downfield, just being the offense where you can be extremely aggressive.
Torrey, which NFC West team had the best win in week one?
Ooh, and that's a tough one because I just finished watching the Cardinals. And you know what? I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I'll go with the Cardinals and the Cardinals-Titans game because I was impressed with the defense. I know everybody wants to talk about Kyler Murray and D-Hop for fantasy reasons and just because these guys play offense. But if Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt can create pressure like they do every week, then, you know, that can really stymie a Russell Wilson, or that can stymie a Matthew Stafford when you have to worry about those guys breathing down your neck the entire game.
So it's funny when we talk about Matthew Stafford, and I know on the broadcast, Chris Collinsworth made mention of it a few times about, you know, Matthew Stafford didn't realize how good he was. How did anybody not realize how good Matthew Stafford was? He, aside from, you know, some years with Megatron, and he's never had a good running game, but aside from having a major weapon like that, what has Matthew Stafford had to deal with? And not only that, he went through so many head coaches. Like, I know that he's playing in a big market now, but isn't it crazy to think that some people don't know how good he actually is?
Yeah. Well, that's the NFL. You know, when you don't win and play on primetime, people just kind of, they take you for granted because you're part of the 1 o'clock games. And we all know, like, the 1 o'clock games are just hurry up and get them out of the way. And the 4 o'clock game is like the game of the week. And then when you get to play at 8 o'clock primetime on Sunday night or Monday night, all eyes are on you. So he rarely gets those opportunities, but, you know, I played against Matthew Stafford when I was in Green Bay. And I mean, if I had a chance to play with the Lions, I felt like I wouldn't have struggled because this guy is a hell of a quarterback. I'm not saying that he's better than Aaron Rodgers, but he's just as gifted as anyone in the NFL. He can make every throw, and now being in the right system with Sean McVay and the weapons he has all over the perimeter, because I felt like when he was in Detroit, he really was dependent on Megatron. But now when you have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and, you know, so many other guys that you can get the ball to, I think he's destined to have a big year this year. And it's how fitting is it to have it in Los Angeles, California?
Torrey, we had a Bills guest on earlier, and the Bills taking on the Dolphins in Miami on Sunday. Does it just feel like that Tua's maybe placeholders a little harsh for where they took that guy in the draft? But we hear all the rumors surrounding Deshaun Watson, and once his off-the-field situation is settled, he'll be back in the league, probably not this year, but maybe next year. Like, what does Tua need to prove where potentially the Dolphins aren't making that trade for Deshaun Watson?
That's a tough one. I feel like they've already showed their hand, because whenever the coach brought up Deshaun Watson in a presser, and that's unheard of. Like, this guy has nothing to do with the Miami Dolphins, and to hear the coach, you know, mention Deshaun and talk about how they're not interested in him lets me know that they've really been kicking the tires and they're trying to figure out how to get him down there to Miami in a trade or whatever they can do so they can – you know, I feel like that's the missing piece. So I feel like no matter what Tua does, he's in a lose-lose situation.
Torrey, just wanted to get your take on the flip side of that conversation with Miami playing Buffalo. Are you worried at all if you're a Bills fan after the week one loss to Pittsburgh? It was a weird game. A punt block ended up being a touchdown, and they never seemed to recover from that. But Pittsburgh's got a really good defense, and we've seen what Josh Allen has been able to do against the Miami Dolphins in his career. Is there any concern heading into this week for Buffalo? I know the game's on the road, but if you are a Super Bowl contender, or at least if you think you are, Miami's got to be a team that you got to go out and beat, and maybe beat handily to, kind of silence some of the critics.
Yeah, I'm not high on Buffalo. Even though I played there and they cut the check, I just think that they're a team that rode the wave last year. But this year, I just think they're not as talented as what everyone thinks they are. You know, we all fell in love with Josh Allen, and maybe, you know, he had a great year, you know, statistically and fantasy-wise. But I feel like they really don't have a run game. And also their offensive line is, you know, they're susceptible to getting beat. You know, I watched T.J. Watt and Melvin Ingram just disrupt the game. And it really, you know, it forced Josh Allen to make throws he didn't want to throw. And a lot of balls ended up in the dirt. So there is a recipe to beat a high-powered offense, and it's with pass rushers. So, you know, I know we all overlook, you know, what you see on Sundays, but really it's all about defense. And if you can have some guys that get pressure on any quarterback, you know, that right there disrupts the entire game, and that's how you put yourself in position to win. So I think they need to shore up that offensive line if Josh Allen is going to ascend and be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.